I think the biggest gap is trust. You have people making the buying decisions, and they know, whether it's from their own strategy, from looking at their margins, from their board, something, you know, big up here is saying we need AI in our company. And then you have the people using it, and they need to trust that it's going to make their work easier, that it's going to give them the data they need, it's going to be easy to adopt and implement, and it's not going to replace their job also. And so there's this like trust gap.
Welcome back to Product Marketing Life, the show where we talk to product marketers about life, their careers, and product marketing. I'm Sid Caton, your host. I work at Beekeeper as a senior product marketing manager. And in this episode, I got to sit down with Susanna Bogardis. Susanna is a principal PMM at Workday. We talked about her very unique journey from account manager and startup COO to product marketer, how to use AI in a relevant and useful way for both the buyers and the end users, and then a hot take on why we should think about customer support as a strategic function rather than an executional one. Susanna, can you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Susanna. I'm a principal product marketing manager at Workday. I have been a B2B product marketer for the past 8 years, and I've spent my whole career in tech.
Very cool. Well, welcome to the show. I, of course, did a little bit of my research beforehand. Nothing creepy, just whatever's available on the internet. And I saw you're a yoga instructor. How does that play into your PMM life as well?
Yeah, yoga is, I think most people are familiar with it as a movement modality. It's a ancient historical and philosophical practice as well. So I find it to be a very grounding source for me when I feel like I need something a little bit bigger than me to rely on. And I think it teaches you to not be so attached to the outcomes, which can be really beneficial in product marketing because we can do everything right and still have things to learn along the way. So it gives you some more life skills to manage that a bit, I think.
That's such a good point. Well, like sometimes I feel like I can only manage the input. And sometimes, yeah, you have to just own the action and trust other teams, trust other people to and believe that the outcome will be good. Dharma plus a little bit of karma, I guess, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Cool. Well, yeah, we talked about yoga and a little bit about how that plays into your PMM life. Just when it comes to you, I'm curious, if you could go back and kind of in a time capsule and talk to your earlier self, what advice would you give to a younger PMM? I mean, now you're a principal PMM at Workday, but I'm sure you had a journey to get there. What advice would you give them?
So I was kind of a smartass kid. And it took me a few, people tried to coach me on this, and it took me a little while, and maybe early in my career, maybe around age 22, it started to stick, which was the perception that people have of you matters. I kind of just thought that like being smart, doing good work, getting it done, shipping something was what mattered the most. But realizing that how you work with people, how people want to work with you matters a lot. And so being able to come across as someone who brings people along, can clearly explain my rationale and context for the things that I'm working in, and just being someone that people like working with, like that goes a long way. And so I was lucky to learn that early in my career that I didn't have to be so salty and just focused on getting stuff out the door, that there's a really important social component that, especially in product marketing, you're corralling a lot of people, you're managing a lot of stakeholders, and you're an influential person. And so you have to be able to build on that and develop skills around that.
Yeah. And for me, actually, I remember my first product marketing role. I was talking to the product manager who was very experienced. And on the first day, she was like, "Can you fill out this ways of working document?" And I was just like completely appalled. I was like, wow, like, you're asking me this for day one. And I realized how powerful that becomes, because then you start to understand everyone else's style and how you can work together and morph into it. So that's a great point. Okay. So I think that's a great start. I'd love to just hear more about your career journey, how you got to where you're at today. Everyone, of course, has their like stumbled into product marketing journey, and would love to learn more about yours.
Sure. I started in account management and in like advertising, ad tech specifically. And account management is sales adjacent. So I worked very closely with the sales team. I had to have good, deep product knowledge. And I also worked pretty closely with marketing. And I felt like that was a really good start to being with product marketing, because you learn how to create value for customers, how to create incentives to renew and things like that. So, and you have this idea of your work has to be measured. That could be, you know, in account management, it's often either a renewal or like a revenue-based, monetization-based metric. So those were the early skills that I developed. And that kind of led me into, I do want to lean more into marketing. I'd always been in startup world, smaller companies, Series A, Series B, even bootstrapped. I left ad tech after about 8 years and started really getting into like early stage startups. And that's where I kind of started the understanding of a launch and going into new markets and things like that at a startup that was focused on travel, and learning how to like evangelize travel opportunities across like broader markets. So that was my first introduction to creating a go-to-market plan and having a launch strategy and a deployment and things like that. And so that really gave me those first initial pieces of understanding for that. Unfortunately, in startup world, some companies take off and some don't. That one ran out of runway. So I joined another startup. I was their first marketing hire and built out their digital marketing strategy, their content strategy, and their product marketing strategy. At that company, I was actually promoted into a chief operating officer role after some time. So for about almost 3 years, I was managing our customer success function, our sales function, as well as marketing. And it was very insightful to see how all of those dovetail work together and really getting a very cohesive journey or insight into the customer journey. I loved the product marketing lens. And when I thought about as that company was acquired and what I wanted to do next, I felt like product marketing was a natural alignment. I could take my strategic perspective, my experience working closely with a broad set of internal teams, and refine that. So Workday is the first company I worked for that isn't a startup or an earlier stage company. So there's different challenges with that, but it's been a really interesting non-linear journey to get into product marketing, I'll say.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, there's a lot to work with there. I actually also have an account management background. I think it's served me really well. The way I like to put it is like, you know, of course, being a seller is really important. As an AM, you kind of are a seller. But you get to follow the customer after they sign the contract, right? And really understand their business processes and what they're up to. So that's
you have to build really good relationships with them. And like, you don't get that even in product marketing, you often don't have really strong customer relationships, but you know how you can create value for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a COO and a first hire, that must have been somewhat of like a roller coaster in the early stage. Changing all the way to Workday, what's that feel like? I got to ask, like, do you sometimes get impatient, or how do you transform that energy you probably have into in a much larger organization?
Interestingly, Workday doesn't sit still. We are always doing something. So I feel like my entrepreneurial background is actually an asset. I am comfortable navigating ambiguity, because in a startup, you don't have a choice. No one knows what's going to happen. In a more established company, people maybe feel like they don't necessarily have, they haven't flexed that muscle as much. And so I think that I've been able to take on broad projects that are maybe a little bit more loosely defined and create success with them, or reshape processes because I have a different perspective on how it could be broader or how it could be measured differently. So I think that as long as there's an opportunity to use that perspective, then it's valuable. But I, you know, this, the role that I was hired for did specifically say, like, we want someone with an entrepreneurial mindset that has no problem moving quickly. And I was like, that is me. So I think I am in the right role. Not every company, I think, will have that mindset, but I'm lucky to be in a place where it's actually an asset, even though I am on a 100-person product marketing team. So
Something I noticed was AI seems to be something you were doing like back in 2022 before it went completely mainstream. Was that part of your charter when you first got into Workday as well?
Yes. Workday has a lot of AI features and capabilities, and they're very much leaning into that as their future strategy. They are leaning into an AI strategy. So having a depth of knowledge about what prompt engineering entails, what the difference between machine learning and generative AI and things like that was helpful for me to help inform my team and also join forces on, what tools do we want to implement and what are some best practices so I can kind of lead with AI from an internal perspective, as well as having a clear understanding of what that AI strategy looks like for product marketing in Workday.
Interesting. So how much AI knowledge do you feel like is needed? I'm thinking about other PMMs who are like thinking or looking at a job description and they see AI in it and are potentially intimidated. You mentioned understanding prompt engineering, some of that. What level of, do you think, knowledge is needed to be able to be effective in that type of role?
I honestly feel like at this point, it's still not that much. I think if you have a consistent relationship with using AI in your work and you can speak to how it saves you time and or helps you get more done, that's going to show that you have an understanding of what it can do for you. I don't think you need to be an expert, especially if you're looking at a product marketing role or a product marketing specialist role, something a little bit more entry level that wants AI. I do still think you can have an impact by just knowing how you interact with it on a day-to-day basis and how it can create value. Obviously, of course, there's some roles where you are very integrated in a highly AI technical product and having more understanding of like RAGs and, LLMs and things like that, and how it's actually trained and being able to answer those technical product questions will be really important, and having a stronger background will matter.
Sure. You mentioned it, and I feel like this is always the toughest question, which is how to use AI in your day-to-day work. I'm going to put you on the spot. I feel like when people ask me this, I feel like I'm like, there's a lot of ways they use it, but either,
there's a lot of ways
out of the top of your head.
I'm going to share a specific example, and maybe this is like, people are going to be like shocked by this, but, there's a chief executive at my company, and I'm often pulled into just reviewing decks about talking points about the products that I work with and things like that. I want to make sure that I'm adding a lot of value for the intermediaries, the people that are actually like building these decks and these talk tracks. And so I trained a Gemini gem on this person. I uploaded a lot of their previous speeches and some of their decks. I have access to all this information internally, and we use, it's an approved AI product. I wouldn't do this if it's not an approved AI product at your organization that's not training itself on this data. But I was able to create a gem for this person. So now I can say like, how would this person talk to this customer about this topic? And it will give me a speech that this person would say. And when I pass this along to their executive comms team members, they're like, this is perfect. So one, it saves me a ton of time because I can just create a prompt and send it in, and then I have something that's 80% there. But also it's like, I have this tool that I can use that helps me add value across the organization for anyone who has a touch point with this executive.
Yeah, that's neat. And you're able to speak from their voice as well, right? You don't have to make things up or really do too much of the digging yourself. That's interesting. And we actually, at Beekeeper, we just got approval for gems, a Gemini gem. So, or just Gemini overall. And I'm thinking about how to use it. So that could be an interesting use case. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. The deep research tool on Gemini is really helpful too. You could just tell it to create a report on something. And like, I use it to analyze like other companies' blogs, because like I could spend 2 days going through like their content strategy, or I can have AI do it. And that, you know, spits out a 20-page report that's summarized neatly, and you can use that.
Nice. So you previously said, and I think this ties into it, that AI without a strategy is a solution without a problem. Can you talk more about that? I think it talks a little bit to what you're doing at Workday, but also, as you just described, how you identify processes or ways to use AI.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes from the stem of like, throw AI at the problem, but you think you need to really understand like what you're trying to solve for and how can you use AI and what is the right AI that you can use. Did you happen to see the like Spotify memo that got pushed out? I think that's a really good use case of like, here is AI as a solution for you. Like, try it. See if you can do your job a little bit better with AI first. And so I think those are some things that people are going to start to adopt and see it as like a tool. When I was talking about that point, I was specifically thinking like from a product marketing standpoint, everyone's like, well, we have to start talking about AI. We have to start talking about what this is, but maybe we don't necessarily know what we're doing for our customers yet and like what they're actually trying to do. And so I think even from when I said that to now, I think there is a lot more clarity on how people can use AI in their day-to-day. So I think it's that point is more when you are trying to position your company as an AI solution, understand what problems you're solving for your customers using AI and not just say AI for the sake of saying that you have it. And I think that there's more companies like developing that strategy behind it, but it did kind of feel like everyone was just slapping it on their website for a while. And it's like, does anyone know why you're using it? Like the whole roundabout answer to that question, but.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. Like even now I see a lot of companies like releasing features that are AI powered and such, and like they're shiny tools, but no one's really explained just like you would expect from any feature, which is what does this actually do? And how does this make my life easier as a customer versus this is some cool technology you built. So definitely. Could you give us a peek into how Workday thinks about AI? Of course, you're in the HR tech space. I am as well. So selfishly, I'm very curious, but overall, can you tell me how Workday is thinking about the space and how to leverage AI?
Yeah, so Workday has been around for 20 years, and they've always seen themselves as being the system of record for a business. They manage all of your HR data, and we also have a finance section as well, so you can manage all of your financial management. We have general ledger capabilities and, you know, accounting and finance and financial planning, like all those things are also baked into Workday as well. So you could run your business on Workday and have a centralized place for your data that you can make decisions from across the organization. So there are some AI capabilities of like augmenting that, either surfacing up data insights or, being able to. We have like role-based agents that we're planning on launching, or we are launching. They'll actually like allow you to take over some of the more mundane tasks that people have to do. And really the human just says like, please proceed this way, but the AI will make a recommendation based on historical data of how your company has typically made decisions on that data. What we're moving into is what we call our agent system of record. So not only just the agents that Workday is building, but we anticipate that a lot of companies and a lot of our partners and a lot of other vendors will also build agents that can replace tasks and roles for humans that are really just those like more easy to automate type tasks. And on Workday, you'll be able to manage and train those agents on your data, similar to how you would manage and train and onboard people on Workday. And so it's continuing into our vision of we are your system of record, and we're also going to be your system of record for how you manage the AI agents that you will implement in your organization.
Very cool. I can't believe you were able to explain that and articulate it in a way that made sense. Like, that was incredible. Related, I'm curious, as you start to sell this, you kind of mentioned there's the end user who's actually doing these tasks. maybe some of their work is being replaced, the tedious stuff. And then there's also the people who have to buy the software and the solution suite. How do you talk to them differently and kind of bring them both along for the ride?
I think the biggest gap is trust. You have people making the buying decisions, and they know, whether it's from their own strategy, from looking at their margins, from their board, something, you know, big up here is saying we need AI in our company. And then you have the people using it, and they need to trust that it's going to make their work easier, that it's going to give them the data they need, it's going to be easy to adopt and implement, and it's not going to replace their job also. And so there's this like trust gap. And I think that that's going to be the biggest piece for product marketing to start to unlock is, yes, talking to the buyers. This is the right AI system for you. And then having an implementation onboarding plan that's really supportive of the users to make sure that they actually adopt the AI, they get value from it, and they see that it can be a trusted resource for them.
Yeah. As you started doing some of this work, have you ran into any like pitfalls or, just along the journey, anything as you started to try to sell this and market it to the right people that people can learn from you that, product marketers should know about when they're going along this path?
I think it still boils down to the same key things with product marketing, which is understanding your customer, what they actually need to be able to do, and how are they going to get value from AI, if we're talking about AI still, but just in general, like it does to boil down, like our role is to be the compass for how your like buyer and the market are reconciled with your product, and really painting that direction of you have all of these alternatives you can choose from. I mean, we're in HR tech. It is a very saturated market. There are a lot of choices for people, and you have to orient them to the right solution for them. And you need to understand what they're trying to do in order to do that.
Nice. The fundamentals are just as important.
Yep. Can't forget them.
Yeah. So shifting gears a little bit, actually more about your experience as a COO, as a startup hire. You had a kind of hot take, and I like to pull whatever I can out. The one I found was about how you see customer support as not an entry-level function. You see it as a much more strategic role. I'm curious if you could go a little bit into that perspective, that point of view, and then kind of what informed it. I guess I just assumed it was the COO role that really helped you think that way, but I'm curious, yeah, where it came from.
Yeah, so I have a close friend, and he was a founder at the company that I was in that COO role with. It was the chief product officer, and he just always wanted more from the customer support team. He was like, you guys talk to them for an hour a day and you have all these great insights. And like, I need to be able to capture that because I want to make sure that when I'm building a product, it solves for these problems. And so he and I had like a really long conversation about just, it's a much more strategic function. How do we unlock that? Because they're the front line. And there are a lot of things where it is just a quick misunderstanding. And you see that like, actually that is being automated in a lot of ways, those quick fixes. But then there are like genuine, I'm trying to figure out how to make this product solve this problem for me. Does it or does it not? And if it doesn't, is this something that the product team would be interested in knowing about? And so really seeing it as a strategic partner for bridging the customer conversations to deeper layers of the organization. And I think especially at startups that don't have the resources to have inbound and outbound product management or even a larger functioning product marketing team, you have to rely on those other teams and the insights that they're able to glean in order to capture that holistic view of your customers. And, you know, there's just a lot of opportunity, I think, if you train your customer support team into that role. And I think they're hungry for that. The customer support reps that I manage, they love being on the phone with customers because they like solving problems and they see a lot of value in what they're doing. And so if you give them the ability to actually be part of a strategic informational relationship deeper in the organization, it creates a stronger career path and it gives you a clear delineation between these are the tickets that can be automated and this is where we can extract value from these customer conversations to inform our decisions as a whole organization.
Yeah. I actually find a lot of people who've been in the early stage function and having that perspective. I was just talking to an HR tech founder last week saying something similar, like our customer success team is worth their weight in gold because they're the ones hearing the problems. And I actually think as some of this gets, you know, it's already been offshored and now sometimes it's, you know, goes to AI. I think it's like you said, there has to be a clear delineation of these are kind of quick fixes that we don't need to be involved in. And this is where like human support and strategic level thinking really does come into play. I agree, because it's a customer touch point, right? At the end of the day.
Yeah.
And if you're at an early stage, it might be far and few between. So yeah.
And as someone in product marketing, you are largely responsible for not only just for that acquisition, but also for adoption. And if you have a clear understanding of why features are not being adopted, because there you have insights in those customer conversations, like that could be really informative too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this has been a great convo. I think we covered a lot. It's really interesting to hear some of your journey. Can you help us close this out by answering the question, product marketing is blank. So is the blank.
I'm joking. It was going to be like life because of the name of the podcast. I think product marketing is a really fulfilling career for people that are curious and seek to understand. And so I see myself being in this product marketing seat for a long time. And I hope that it's a space that I can continue to evolve in.
It's a great validation from a former COO. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. This has been great. How can people learn more about you and your work?
I'm on LinkedIn. Feel free to find me there. Add me if you'd like, and I will post articles on the Product Marketing Alliance website as well. I'm one of their content ambassadors. So you can find some thoughts that I have there as well.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing you there. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sid.